Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah? Excellent. Let's go again. We can go from the Psalm of David bit from the top. Let's do that. One, two, three. A Psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. As long as I live, my lips
will lift up my hands.
Amen. Beautiful words from David, the king of Israel. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. So as we come to a time of song worship, as we pray together throughout the course of this service, let us be mindful, just like David, that God is worthy of the praise. He is worthy of our worship. David says, because your love is better than life itself. Such words of conviction. And then he says, my lips will glorify you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for bringing us together safely this morning. And Lord, just like David, we want to sing of your love. We want to lift up our hands, whether literally or in our hearts. We want to bow the knee before you. We want to demonstrate with the fruit of our lips and with our lives how much you mean to us. Because your love for us is so great. Your mercy is everlasting. And we thank you for your unmerited and your unconditional grace. And Lord, we want to celebrate this morning the fact that Jesus Christ loved us so much that he went to the cross on our behalf. And as we draw close to the table in just a moment, we're mindful this morning again of the cost, the weighty cost of our salvation. So as we worship you now, would you receive our praise and our worship to you? Would you forgive us of our sins and our trespasses? And would you allow us now to see you, just like Isaiah, high and lifted up, and the train of your glory filling the temple? To you be the glory now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we draw close to the table, we're going to sing a great hymn of the church together. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Let's stand and sing if you are able. We're going to sing together. Great is thy faithfulness. And to join me at the front as we prepare to receive now the elements. And to join me at the front again as we prepare to receive now the elements. And to join me at the front again as we prepare to receive now the elements. And to join me at the front again. This morning we are looking at the subject of. Sometimes in our lives we are looking at desire subject to go in a direction. Sometimes in our lives that is different. We are looking at desire subject to go in a direction. Sometimes in our lives that is different. We are desire to go in a direction. Testing 1, 2. We will get there. We will get there. This is a wonderful reminder, and the whole purpose of Calvary and the cross is that we were like sheep and we were heading in various directions that were opposed to the will of God. And we're going to be talking about that during the sermon. Can I have a different route, please? Is often what we cry as humans. But God laid upon Jesus, his only begotten Son, the sins of us all. And through Jesus and his sacrifice and his love, and through him going to the cross, he has given us the route. He has given us the way. He has given us the perfect direction in which we can find ourselves home in the presence of God. It's only possible through Jesus. So just think about that this morning as you receive the bread and you receive the wine, that it's through this sacrifice that you and I can know that our sins have been forgiven, and you and I can know that we can head in the right direction. Amen. I'm going to invite one of our deacons to come and lead us in a prayer of thanks for the bread and for the wine.
Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, we just say thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, of coming, Lord, to take part of these emblems. Mm. Lord, that we'll have life. Lord, an abundant life in you. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, you bless them unto us in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. The communion table is freely available to all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. And if you've not yet come to that place where you have trusted in Jesus for your salvation, then please allow this meal to pass you by until you come to that full knowledge of Jesus for yourself. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, he records these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which I also now deliver unto you. At the very same night that our Lord Jesus was betrayed by Judas, gathered around the table with his friends, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he said to them, take and eat. For this is my body, which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me. As you are now served with what represents the broken body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross, please do eat as you receive it, and be thankful in your hearts. Amen. In like manner, he then took the cup and he said these words, "This cup is the new covenant that will now be in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink of it. Do it in remembrance of me. For as oft as we eat from the bread and we drink from the cup, we do show forth and proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Amen. As you are now served with what represents the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, please do retain your cup until we've all been served, and then we'll drink together as a sign of our unity that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. nothing but the blood of Jesus. And for all of us here this morning, as we're about to drink of the cup, and for those who are watching at home, who are unable to be here with us in person, as you are sharing with us around the communion table of your home, let us drink together now the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of our sins. Amen. Father, once again, we want to say thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for going to Calvary on our behalf. And thank you that while we were lost and heading in various directions, we thank you that through your sacrifice on the cross, through your death, your burial, and through your resurrection, that now we can boldly declare that we were once lost, but now we are found. We were blind, but now we can see. We thank you that we can know that our sins have been forgiven, and we have a great future destiny ahead of us. To you be the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as is the custom in our communion Sundays, it's always a joy to welcome new members into the life and the body of the church. And let me grab the packs here. We're so excited to welcome these wonderful new members into the church. And we have hope they're all here. Grace, is Grace here? Is she here? Grace, no. Blessing, it's Blessing, and Buku Kalu, are they here? No? Okay, we're off to a good start. I know this one, this person is here because I see him this morning. Charles, come on up, Charles. Just stay right here with me, yeah, we're good. Emmanuel. And Esther, are they here? Emmanuel and Esther? No. Bradley, is Bradley here? No. Anna O'Callaghan, coming up. Excellent. Turn around so they can all see you. I'm sure many of you have had an opportunity to have a chat with Charles and with Anna. And if you haven't, then please, after the service, please have a chat with them. These are lovely people, and I'm sure they'll be just so excited to have a chat with you. But they are now officially going to be welcomed as members of Sitting Bourne Baptist Church. And aren't we excited about that? So Charles, it's a privilege to offer you the right hand of fellowship. God bless you. And Anna, the right hand of fellowship, may the Lord bless you. Let's pray for them now as we welcome them. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing Charles and Anna to us. And we thank you, Lord, that they have desired themselves. They've not been forced, but they have desired themselves that they want to become members of this church. Lord, we thank you for that. And we know it's through your Holy Spirit that has drawn them into this place. And we thank you for the gifts and the abilities that you have given them. And Lord, their hearts to serve you. And Lord, we're so excited that they're able to serve you here in this local community. And we pray, Lord, that they would continue to grow in the wisdom and in the knowledge of their Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray that as a church family, that we will be there for them in the good times and also in those bad times, that they would know that they have a supporting church rallying around them, ready to offer support and prayers. So we welcome them now, and we pray that you will bless them richly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you both.
Thank you.
Bless you. Amen. It's also wonderful to put the question out to the church if anyone has the joy of a birthday in and around this week. Any of our children and young people first? Any of our... You got a birthday coming up? Your daughter's put you right in it, hasn't she? On the 13th. Wow, happy birthday to Judith. Happy birthday. Anyone else? Anyone else? Oh, yes. Our office manager, Beverly. Happy birthday, Bev. Anyone else? Do I see someone pointing over there? Don't be shy. Come on, sit, tell us it's your birthday. All right, that's okay. All right, well, we're going to sing happy birthday to Bev and to Judith upcoming, and we pray that they will have a wonderful, wonderful time on their birthdays. Let's sing together.
Happy birthday.
Amen. We thank God for those who are celebrating birthdays. All right, it's now time for our children and young people. They're going to head to their groups as they learn more about the Lord. Let's just send them off with a prayer. Father, we thank you so much for our children and our young people. We pray, Lord, that they will have a wonderful time in their groups learning more about you. And we pray your blessing also upon the teachers and the assistants that will be with them. May they have a wonderful time today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a great time. Amen. We're now going to come to a time of prayer, but before we pray together as a church family, we have been praying for our dear brother Jerry and Sarah over recent weeks, and Jerry has requested this morning and that he would like to come and just to express his thanks to the church for all of the prayers and support that he has received. So come on up, Jerry, and share with us.
Thanks, Nathan. Morning, all. Most of you know the sort of shenanigans we've been going through for the last 2-3 years, something like that, one thing or another. Thank you for praying for us, because the Lord really has been moving over the last few weeks. We have now got a pretty firm offer on a house for rental, which ironically is about 10 doors from where I used to live as a boy. If that isn't God's sense of humour, I don't know what is. We are still looking for answers to certain questions at the moment, so please keep praying. But for the moment, thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you. Let us now come to a time of prayer, and of course we will continue to pray for Jerry and for Sarah. Let's pray. Father, it's a privilege, Lord, to bring our concerns and our petitions to you. We thank you that you delight in hearing from your creation. As we seek your face, as we turn to you, in various seasons in our lives, we know that you are unchanging. You are faithful. Regardless of what's going on in our lives, you are faithful. And we thank you that you are consistent with us, even when we can be inconsistent. And Lord, we thank you that you are still on the throne, even when it looks like things are just spiraling out of control. And Lord, we see that throughout this world, that there are many, many things that really break your heart. When we see the conflict, the ongoing wars in the Middle East, we know that it's not your perfect will. But Lord, we pray that you would just bring peace into those situations. We pray that you would bring relief to those who need supplies, those who need resources. We pray, Lord, that those who are on the front line, those organizations that are trying to provide resources to those in need, we pray that they would not have any hindrance. That, Lord, that you would open the door. That, Lord, your love will be able to reach those who need you and need the help. Lord, we think, Lord, of this country, and we pray, Lord, for our government that continues to make decisions on our behalf. And we know, Lord, that some of those decisions are perhaps contrary to your perfect will. But we pray, Lord, that the leaders of this country, those in government, Lord, that they would have a listening ear to not just make policies and decisions, Lord, that are best suited for them, but, Lord, that they would seek you, that they would seek counsel from the divine, and that you, Lord, would grant them wisdom in making decisions that are in keeping with your perfect will. And, Lord, we do pray for our local church congregation. Lord, we know that there are several needs. There are various needs all around this church. Some, Lord, that have been spoken of, and some, Lord, that only you know. But Lord, regardless of that, we know that we can bring all of our concerns to you, knowing, Lord, that you care for us in such a special way. And we thank you for how you have answered prayer for Jerry and for Sarah. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue, Lord, to bless them abundantly. And that, Lord, that they will be able to move into their new home, where they will find peace and your joy. And Lord, we think of our children and our young people. We pray that you would surround them with your protection as they're out there at school, as they're connecting, Lord, with those who are not Christians, those perhaps who are speaking things into their minds that are not of you. We pray that you would surround them and put a hedge all around them and keep them safe out there in this world. And Lord, as we look to you now for a word, we thank you that you are speaking to us even now. We thank you that heaven is not silent, that you are continuing to lead us in the way that we should go. And we pray, Lord, in just the short while as we hear from you, that you would open our hearts to receive from you this morning. And when it's all said and done, we'll be careful to give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise, because it all belongs to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to return to song once more before we share the word of the Lord with you. And the song simply says, "Faithful One, so unchanging." If you'd like to stand with us and sing, please do.
One.
Please take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Thank you to our worship team for leading us in worship this morning. Well, we are continuing our sermon series in the lead up unto Easter, the road to Easter. And we're now at part three of this sermon series. And today we're going to call your attention to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to commence reading from verse number 36. And the word of the Lord reads like this. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? And he asked Peter, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away the second time and he prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." And when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more, the third time now, and he prayed, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." I want to talk today from the four, as you can see in your sermon notes, the question, can I have a different route, please? Can we say that together? Can I have a different route? Church, the journey to the cross, it continues. And this morning, the setting before us is a garden that boasts a beautiful view of the city of Jerusalem. But despite Matthew's account of Jesus and his friends convening in this beautiful garden with a beautiful backdrop viewing the city of Jerusalem, the events that would unfold while they were visiting the garden would be perhaps the most pivotal moment prior to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I mean, in sporting terms, the Garden of Gethsemane would be considered almost like the semi-final stage of events. It would be the step before the main event. It's the prelude to something far greater on the horizon. It's what the Swedish rock band Europe would call the final countdown. Because Jesus is just moments away from being arrested in this garden and moments away from being betrayed by his own friend, Judas. And ultimately, church, he's just moments away now from being led to the summit of his assignment, to die on the cross for the sins of the world. And just for a moment, church, can you just take in the atmosphere? It's tense. Can you feel it? There's a sense of inevitability about what is about to take place. Yet you can almost sense the anxiety on the faces of the disciples as their master leads them into this garden for what would be an intense moment of prayer. I can't help but think, friends, what were the disciples thinking? What were they expecting to happen in this garden? They had just finished the Last Supper. They had just finished celebrating the Passover meal. Yet they must have been vacillating in their minds about Jesus' words prior concerning his death and his suffering. About the fact that someone around their very table would betray the master. And church, from our perspective, whenever we face an important event or day ahead of us, we know what that's like. The build-up to an important day or a major life event, it takes so much out of us. In fact, it's often the build-up to that event or that special day that really amounts to the most amount of stress that we experience, even more so than the event itself. It's just like when a couple is preparing for their wedding day. You'll often find it's the build-up, it's the preparations before the big day that brings about anxiety and stress. I can attest to that. Or even perhaps for the football player preparing to take a penalty kick in front of thousands of people and millions watching all around the world. It's often the lead up to the penalty kick that causes the nerves to ensue. Some of you will recall, if you follow football, that this country, England, whenever there would be a World Cup or a European Championships, this country for years had a stigma attached to the football team that whenever we came into the penalty shootout, it was almost as if there was a heavy burden just resting on the shoulders of those England football players. Many questioned if they could take the pressure, and they would often buckle. And for some of us here today, we know what it's like to be put on the spot at the very last minute's notice. It can bring about instability, a sense of worry and stress. It's like the story of 5-year-old Billy, who was asked at church to recite Luke chapter 24, verse 6 in their Easter program. He is not here, he is risen. And during the Easter program in the church, and despite practicing it several times over and over again at home, when he stood in front of the church to recite the verse, young Billy froze and he could not remember what to say. So the Sunday school teacher, she came and she leaned over and whispered the verse in Billy's ears. And Billy smiled and he grabbed the microphone with a sense of assurance. And he confidently proclaimed, "He is not here, he is in prison." Because nerves has a way of causing tension and unease. Yet can you imagine, church? Just a moment, can you imagine how Jesus must have felt in this very moment in the Garden of Gethsemane? Much more than preparing for a wedding day, so much more than dealing with the pressure of a penalty kick in a World Cup final. Much more than five-year-old Billy trying to remember his verse. But Jesus, despite being fully God, had to wrestle in his humanity with the anguish and the pain of having to go to the cross. He knew in his humanity that he would have to suffer immensely. It would be horrific circumstances. But he knew that he had to go to the cross for the sins of the world. And church, number one, I want to leave with you this morning, right here in the Garden of Gethsemane, is that often in all of our lives, in our humanity, just like Jesus, we make decisions to turn in a certain direction. But the question is, are we receiving the right direction coming from God? God, are you desiring for me to turn left? Or do you want me to turn right? In verse 39, Jesus opens his prayer by petitioning the Father with a simple request. He says, "Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." In other words, if there is another route, if there is an alternative, allow this cup of suffering to pass from me. Let it be replaced with something else. And church, I love this, because how many times in our own lives have we asked the Lord in prayer to take us out of something or to bring us into a new season that is more comfortable for us? That is the natural human tendency in our lives. It is the tendency to avoid obstacles, avoid trouble, avoid the struggle. Can you imagine if we had the opportunity right now to press a button that from this day forward we would never be stuck in traffic again? I'm sure all of us would go ahead and press the button. We want to avoid the struggle. We want to avoid the roadblocks and the accidents along the way. We would be quick to press the button to go in a different direction than what God has assigned for us. And right here in the garden, it's not that Jesus was looking to avoid or escape going to the cross. But in this very moment in his humanity, it caused his soul, the Bible says, to become exceedingly sorrowful. His heart became heavy. In fact, in the King James Version, it reads that it became so heavy even to the point of death. And in Luke's account of this passage, you'll find that his sweat became like drops of blood. Such was the anguish. Such was the mammoth of the task at hand. And even as we journey with the Lord, friends, there are times when we think in our own humanity that we have a better route, a better direction to turn. But God is saying to us, I don't want you to turn left. I want you to turn right. I want you to stay on the path that I have ordained for your life. But then we often come back with the excuses. But Father, the road to the left, it looks more easier. It looks so much better. It looks more peaceful on that road. There's street lightings on the road to the left. The road markings are neatly positioned on the street to the left. Yet the Father is speaking, trust me. The road to the left is not the road for you. And church, that is the constant battle that we all face each and every day. Yielding our fleshly desires to the perfect will of God for our lives. And the very fact that Jesus, the Son of God, was grappling with the direction of the divine, grappling with his divine nature and his human nature, it lets us know that Jesus knows what it's like to have this struggle that we all face. It's a wonderful reminder that although Jesus was fully God, he was also human on earth. He made himself of no reputation, and he became obedient even to the point of death on the cross. And he became the perfect example for us to follow. That even when there are times in our own lives where we want to go in a different direction, but Jesus lets us know that we have to say, not my will, but yours be done. And I want to encourage you this morning for all of us to look within and to ask ourselves the question, am I looking or heading in the right direction that God wants me to go? You may think that you have a good idea for your life, but my question is it a God idea? Not every good idea, good plan, is God's best for us, but we have to seek his perfect will. But secondly, not only do we see the complication where humanity wants to go in one direction, but the divine wants us to go in a different direction. But secondly, we see the resolution in the prayer. Jesus teaches us, and I want to put it in this question, are you praying with a pencil or a permanent marker? Are you praying with a pencil or a permanent marker? See, often Christians, we tend to quote a verse from the psalm, but we quote it out of context. It's Psalm 37, verse 4. We often quote this verse, but we miss out the first portion of it. And we often say, God will give us the desires of our hearts. But we don't read the prelude to that part of the verse, which says that we should delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our hearts. It's not that God cannot give us the desires of our hearts and answer our prayers, but the question is, have we delighted ourselves in the Lord to know what will bring glory to his name? And Jesus teaches us here that it's important when we pray to always leave room for God to erase anything that he does not want. When I was in school, often, sometimes I would forget my rubber. And you had to ask the teacher, Miss or Sir, can I have a rubber? Because whenever you made a mistake on the paper, the whole job of the eraser is to make good of what you have put wrong. But the challenge is, if you are writing with a permanent marker, then the eraser cannot do nothing to the ink that has now dried on paper. And sometimes in our prayers, we ask God, I want this, God, I want that, God, I want to go there. God, I want to do that. But we pray those prayers with a permanent marker. And we leave no room for the Holy Spirit to make divine amendments. I had this struggle when I was a youngster, when I wanted to be a football player. My prayers went something like this. Lord, I really want to be a football player. Please let me be a football player. Amen. But I had to learn through time and experience that just like Jesus, yes, I can offer to God my request and my petition, but I've also got to leave room for God to have his own way. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You see, if we only ask for what we want, what we desire, what we want to see happen in our lives, and we conclude the prayer with a full stop, then what we are basically saying to God is, this is the way it's got to be, and that's the end of it. But like Jesus, if we can pray prayers where we leave a comma instead of a period, and we say, God, this is what I am praying, this is my prayer request, but nevertheless, what are you saying about it? I want this, but if you don't want me to have it, then you have your way. I want this for my family, but if you have another way, another plan, let it be your way. And that comes with experience as we journey with Christ, that our prayers become not so much insular, but it becomes now, God, what are you saying about this? How do you want to answer this prayer request? Even if I have not thought about this particular route, Lord, you know what's best. And however you want to answer my prayer, let it be your way and your will. When we pray such prayers, we give the Lord redactor privileges to remove anything that is not according to his perfect will. So my challenge to you this morning, secondly, is, are we only bent on seeing things done in our own way, in our own plan, our own desire? Do we think we know what's best for our own future? But like Jesus, are we going to leave room for God to have his own way? We should always strive to leave room for God to direct our paths, even if we believe wholeheartedly that we are going in the right direction. My question this morning is, have you prayed, let your will be done? But finally this morning, I have to leave this with you. Not only does Jesus teach us in the prayer that we should leave room for God to have his own way, but there's one thing that I have to leave you with. Because even if we think in our own estimations that our way is the best way, Jesus lets us know that if we follow God's way, then ultimately the will of God will never lead you down the wrong path. Can we say this together? The will of God will never lead you. Now, the will of God does not necessarily mean it will be an easy path. I'm not saying that the will of God is always easy street, even keel. But just like Jesus, the perfect plan for him was to go to the cross and to suffer. But ultimately, it was the best plan for Jesus to take. Because through his selfless act, then you and I and this whole world can have the blessed assurance to know that if we confess our sins to him through his act, we can know that our sins can be forgiven. Because Jesus said yes to the Father and no to his flesh, salvation could come into the world. Why? Because he obeyed the plan of the Father. Why is this important, friends? Because Jesus understood that there was a greater plan at work. And I want to encourage you in closing, you may not see that it makes sense on paper for you right now what God is asking you to do, what God is calling you to. It may not make sense. It didn't make sense for me when God was calling me to serve in ministry. But I'm here to encourage you that if you will say yes to God, he will never lead you down the wrong path. It will always make sense in the end. And the purpose is greater than yourself. The purpose is always to impact and to help other people. Because Jesus said yes in the garden, many others can now come to know that their sins have been forgiven. In closing, I want us to just reflect quietly in our hearts now. Am I going down the right path? Am I heading in the right direction? Have I made some turnings in my life that I thought made sense? But is God speaking, I want you to go in a different direction? Have you left room in your prayer requests to allow the Lord to have the final say? Not my will, but yours be done. The Bible, according to Max Lucado, is a story of two gardens, Eden and Gethsemane. In the first garden, Adam took a fall. But in the second garden, Jesus took a stand. He took a stand. And the challenge for us this morning is, like Jesus, are we prepared to stand on Christ the solid rock? Are we prepared to stand and do what God is calling us to do? Or do we want to go in our own way and our own direction? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that we don't always head in the right direction. We acknowledge that sometimes we turn down different roads and streets that you have not ordained for our lives. Lord, we're sorry at times where we have petitioned heaven and we have made requests in permanent markers, not giving room for you to erase and to show us your perfect way and your perfect plan. But we thank you that in this road up to Easter, we can see that Jesus Christ, despite struggling in the garden with the weight of the assignment on his life, was able to pray, not my will, but yours be done. And I pray for each and every one of us here this morning that, like Jesus, we would get to that place where we would be open for you to change our plans, open for you to show us your perfect way, because we want your will to be done in our lives. So, Lord, we pray if we are going and turning in a direction that does not please you, would you just restore us back to that road that would be fruitful and that would bring you glory and bring you praise? For we only want to please you. We only want to do your bidding. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As the worship team come back, as we prepare to draw this service to a close, we are going to continue in song. As we draw the service to a close, we're going to sing, "Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King, for his love endures forever." We thank God that Jesus endured the cross, and it was a sign that his love endures forever. So if you want to stand with us and sing, "Give thanks to the Lord our God and King." Amen. Please do join us after the service for teas and coffees and refreshments and a chance to fellowship one with another. And please be reminded also that it's our evening service. We have our praise and worship evening service this evening at 6:30, so you'll be more than welcome to join us as we continue to worship our great God together. Also, just one final note before we pray. On Easter Sunday in the evening, the evening service of Easter Sunday, we're going to be having a testimony service. And if you would like to share your testimony, it's going to be a great opportunity for you to come and just to share what the Lord has laid on your heart. Then please do speak to myself or Bev, who's going to be leading the service, and we'll make room for you to share your testimony. So please bear that in mind. That's the evening service on Easter Sunday. We're going to be having a time of worship and testimony sharing. So please keep that in mind. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence here with us this morning. We thank you so much, Lord, for new members who have been welcomed, Lord, into this church. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. The challenge this morning that we need to respond to your direction and not just seek to go in our own way and fulfill our own desires. And we thank you for Jesus Christ, who endured the garden, which ultimately led him to the cross. And through him, each and every one of us now can leave this place with assurance, knowing that our sins have been forgiven and knowing that we can have fellowship with God without interruption. We can come boldly before the throne of God. And until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now, evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Amen.
Sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love.